高。
Look at a piece of raggedy old clothing.
84. I mean, maybe those guys down in Orange County are grumbling about the traffic. Oh, you know, when I go to Los Angeles for the Olympics, oh, no, it's going to be awful. It's going to be gridlock. Come on, stay away from it. But we here in LA, we do better. This city was going to do the Olympics proud. And me? Well, it was late spring in 1984, just prior to the opening of the Los Angeles Summer Olympic Games. And I had but one burning desire. I was dying to see the Olympic torch runner. Now, the newspaper said that 50 of these runners would be running predetermined routes scattered across dozens of different locations throughout Los Angeles and the surrounding region. And I'm saying to my husband, Ken, oh, Ken, isn't there some place that we can go, park on some curbside and watch a runner go by with a torch? That's all I want. I don't want to see balance beams or 100-meter dashes or I don't want to see platform dives. No. All I want to do is see the guy with the torch. Ken is a wonderful, loving husband. But he belongs down there in Orange County with all those people who are trying to.
Way too late. The runner had passed by
said, I'm still praying. I am praying. And I'm going to ask the Lord somehow, some way, to let me see that torch runner. Kent just shook his head, paid the bill, and we were out the door. It was dark, and so, heading back to the valley, we decided to take the San Juan Freeway over to the 405. Meanwhile, I'm still praying, and I'm looking at this map on my lap. By the time we got on the 405 and started going north of the Sepulveda Pass, reached about Sunset Boulevard, traffic began to thicken. And I'm glancing at my map, but it doesn't make sense because according to the newspaper schedule, the runner would have paralleled the freeway there hours earlier. Well, that's when we saw breakpoints. Lots and lots of breakpoints. Oh no, my husband groans. What's with all this traffic on a Sunday night? The runner was supposed to go to the stretch hours ago. And I'm thinking, oh no, he didn't. He is late and we are going to see him. Okay, so here's how it came down. Okay, you know the 405 going north up over Sepulveda Pass? You know where Sepulveda Boulevard, for the most part, it runs about 70 feet, 80 feet down below the freeway on the right-hand side? But there's that one little stretch right before the Moraga Road exit, okay? Right before Sepulveda Boulevard dumps under the freeway and goes up the pass to the left-hand side. You know what I'm talking about? You can look right, okay? And it's just a chain-link fence separating you, if you're in the slow lane, between anybody over there on Sepulveda Boulevard. What? You're like 15 yards away, okay? So, there we are, shutting up the freeway, 20 miles per hour, and the chances of traversing that freeway through that slow traffic at the precise moment when the runner would jog up that very tiny little stretch of Sepulveda Boulevard were a million to one. But as we chugged up the freeway, what do you know? News trucks, motorcycles, helicopters with spotlights, and just as Sepulveda Boulevard makes that first rise, our car slowly draws up parallel to the runner. Oh my goodness! I rolled down the window, I'm cheering him on, and I'm not kidding, about a full 2 minutes, okay, for 20 yards. This guy is just maybe 30 feet away from me. I can see the flame of the uplifted torch lighting his face. I can hear his breathing. I can see his sweat. I can see the muscles straining. Oh, and now we have, we can be his pace car. My husband could not believe his eyes. How we just both happened to be on the right-hand lane, the slow lane, of six lanes of traffic at the precise instant when the flame torch runner, 6 hours late, was running that little tiny stretch of road. Well, it was impossible. But you know what? My Heavenly Father, He heard the wistful prayer of me. Special audience with him. He bends down from heaven. He say. He encourages with our cry. He cups his ear to hear our requests. And I think that's because God appreciates the sacrifice of prayer. You know, he knows that when you're going through affliction, it costs you something, like your pride, like your logic. I mean, many people, when they are suffering, they'll use that as an excuse not to believe in God. So people who suffer and yet bring their request to the Lord Jesus, oh my goodness, and they do it with hope and expectancy, it delights him. It pleases him. Psalm 149, verses 4 to 8 says, quote, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor." And get this part, "sing for joy on their beds." I do that every night. I gotta lay down by 7:30. Gravity is my enemy. Boy, it's tough being a quadriplegic sitting in a wheelchair, but when you're quadriplegic lying flat. Oh my goodness, that's hard. But oh, to sing for joy on your bed. And it says, "May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to bind the nations and kings with feathers." Isn't that wonderful? Can't you just picture it? Even people suffering affliction and who are bedridden, when the praise of God is in their mouths, their prayers are a double-edged sword, shaping the destiny of nations. That's why at our ministry at Johnny and Friends, we consider our most powerful prayer partners to be those who suffer affliction, most especially those with disabilities. As was said, we deliver wheelchairs and Bibles all around the world, and we hold retreats for families affected by disability. We're in partnership with World Impact in holding special family retreats for special needs families in the inner city of Los Angeles every summer. And you know, what maybe the devil, and yes, I believe there is an actual devil, just like there are actual angels, maybe our adversary, the devil, considers affliction and suffering as, quote, his territory. Maybe he uses disabilities to try to smear the good name of God or defame his reputation. Like, how can you believe in God? A God who would allow children to be born with Down syndrome or multiple disabilities or young people breaking their necks in accidents. No way God is good. I mean, that may be what the devil thinks. But just like Joseph said in the Old Testament, some may intend things for evil, but God intends them for good. He permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And people enduring affliction, no matter how awful that affliction, I tell you what, their prayers are powerful. Yeah. You know, I experience this every single morning when I get up. As I mentioned, 45 years as a quadriplegic. But don't be thinking I'm a veteran at this. Don't be thinking I'm an expert or a professional at being spinal cord injured quadriplegic. After so many years in a wheelchair, let me confess to you what it feels like to wake up in the morning. I'll hear my girlfriend in the kitchen at 7:30 a.m. running water for coffee, and there I am in bed with my eyes closed. I'm awake, but my eyes are closed. You know how it is. In the morning, when you haven't yet opened your eyes, and you're thinking about the day, and the battles are won, wars are raged in those few short seconds before you open your eyes. You know, either your attitude for the day is going to be set for good or not. And I hear my girlfriend in the kitchen running water for coffee. My eyes are closed. And this is what I'm doing. I'm thinking, oh, God, I am so tired of quadriplegia. Oh, my goodness. I don't think I can face another day of somebody coming into this bedroom, giving me a bed bath, doing my toileting routines, running my legs through range of motion books, exercises, my arms, getting me dressed, cinching up my corset, throwing me on a wheelchair, pushing me to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, brushing my hair, blowing my nose. Oh God, I'm so tired. And I just don't have the strength to make it through the day. Lord, I cannot do Wonder Collegiate today, but I can do all things through you as you strengthen me. I have no strength to face this day. Would you give me your strength? And I have no smile for this girlfriend who's going to come into the bedroom with a cup of coffee and a cheery hello. I have no smile for her. Can I please borrow your smile? And I tell you what, by the time I do open my eyes, by 7:35 in the morning, I've got joy, hard fought for, sent straight from heaven. Isn't that awesome?
Desperately, every single day. Join me in prayer.
recognizing that your affliction is a powerful asset in prayer. In fact, close your eyes right now, bow your heads, and pray with me. Oh, Father God, help us to open our ears and eyes today. Help us to see our desperate need of you. Help us to look for and listen to you. May we never choose to be spiritually handicapped, but move in trust toward you. And may we always believe that you always do more than we could possibly ask or imagine. You always give Olympic-sized answers to heartfelt, honest prayers. And may we all ask with a beggar's humility, seek with a servant's carefulness, and not with the confidence of a follower of Jesus. And Lord God, I'm just grateful that my friends here do not have to break their necks to do it. In your name, amen.
Father, we do need you desperately every day. Tommy suggested. We believe and we pray that you be with us in our occasional unbelief. We believe in the effectiveness of prayer, as you teach us in James, that prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And so we begin this prayer in humility by acknowledging our shortcomings and our weaknesses, and by asking for forgiveness so that we may boldly call upon you on behalf of our great city, the City of Angels. We're encouraged by many who have prayed before us, and pray like Moses today, who prayed at the parting of the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them. So like Moses, we call upon you to be our strength and our defense. We pray as Solomon prayed. We pray for wisdom. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen. A great people, too numerous to count our number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For our mayor and all those who lead this great city, our state, our nation, we pray for wisdom and discerning hearts. We pray like Hannah, poured out her soul when she said, Lord Almighty, if you will only look to your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. So like Hannah, we long for a bright future for the children of our community. Please be with the children of our community. We pray as the Apostle Paul, Peter, and John, when they called upon Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. So in your presence, we, your disciples, acknowledge you as Sovereign Lord. And finally, in this prayer, as you taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, not ours, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever, now and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.
Receive a bundle of truths to take with us, not only through what Johnny has brought to us so very tenderly, touchingly and powerfully, but reminders of all the things that there are to pray for. I have a very sizable prayer list that's carefully formed from experience through a lot of years. I've had things that I need to rethink and deepen today myself. Let's carry the message of the day home and apply it ongoingly. Thank you for your participation in 39 Marriage Prayer Breakfast under the City of Los Angeles. You're dismissed.